What would National Hunt Racing be without a little choice? Jockey or trainer? Bay or grey? Form or silks? And now, Paddy Power's new money-back tokens give you even more choice because you choose the race to apply your token to. Get money back as a free bet if your horse finishes in the designated places on a race of your choosing. Just look out for our money-back token promos and claim your token however you like. Paddy Power. Applies to races with eight or more runners. Opt-in required. Max free bet £10. T's and C's apply. 18 plus. BeGambleAware.org.
Welcome along to From the Horse's Mouth as we look ahead to Friday, day two at Aintree. Ruby out, Joe Logue in, and Rory DeLargy is once again with us. We are recording for full transparency 12:30 on Thursday afternoon, just before day one starts. So we don't know the storylines that may or may not have developed since the first day of racing. But we do know that Rory DeLargy, you put up a value loser on day one in Sans Brewitt. Yeah. We don't know if he's won or not. Sorry.
Well, we get the should have been favourite angle at least.
Yes, exactly. Yeah, you put up Sans. You said it should have been favourite. You tipped off 14-1. I think there was a little bit of 14s left just before we went live at the pod. Went to 11s on Tuesday night, actually. And then when did the real cash arrive? On Wednesday? Or was it Thursday morning?
Yeah, well, it would have been. I woke up this morning to find the price had collapsed.
Collapso. Well, fingers crossed that goes on to win, and that'll set us up nicely for the week. Joe Logue, how the hell are you?
Fantastic, PK. Yeah, I'm here in Power Tower. Can see the trading floor from here. Hour and 15 minutes before the first race at Aintree, and there's a nice little buzz around. But yeah, looking forward to the weekend. We've had cracking bit of Champions League action this week, and we've the Masters and we've the Aintree Festival, and it's one of the best weekends of sport of the year, so looking forward to it.
What was the 6 goals in one of the games, 4 goals in the other on Tuesday, then another 7 goal game on the Wednesday, and then 3 in the other. It's unbelievable.
Yeah. Unreal. It sets us up nicely for a good weekend, doesn't it?
And what did I watch on Tuesday night? Ireland-England in the women's match. I watched us get... Now, it was the worst 2-0 performance from a losing side in a long time. We were miles worse. But anyway, that's for another podcast. We're not going to talk about women's football. We're going to talk about horse racing. I've got loads of notes from producer Mark, so bear with me. Here we go. Free bet. Paddy Power online customers, you can opt in and claim a free bet on Friday to use on any race at the Aintree Festival. Link in the show notes for T's and C's and how to claim. The Punters Panel episode, which is really good if you haven't watched it. Paddy Power Racing YouTube channel. Mick Fitz, Ruby Walsh, Frank Hickey, and Tom Nugent. It is superb. It really is. Some cracking questions and answers in particular from Mick Fitz. So that's on the Paddy Power Racing YouTube channel, as is the live from Aintree. Good morning, Aintree, I should say, on Friday morning and Saturday morning. And that's at 8:30 on all Paddy Power social channels. And it's Finders Keepers. We throw in $5,000 into random Paddy Power accounts. All you got to do is withdraw it once it hits your account. So not too many winners on Thursday, I'm told. So hopefully plenty on Friday and Saturday. Horsepower, that's Horse PWR. Check it out. It's a cracking website concerning the thoroughbred and the care that goes in before, during, and after they are racehorses. And finally, no Ruby Walsh, as we mentioned already, but there is Ruby Walsh on our cheat sheets, which will be available on the Paddy Power News website for all the action on Saturday, including actually selections of Patrick Mullins. It'd be interesting to see if Ruby and Patrick disagree. Okay, that's it. Done. Notes done. Let's get some winners, lads. We're starting at 1:45 with the novice chase, as we did a novice chase on the Thursday. This time, though, it is the 3-mile, 1-furlong event. Gives full title, the Hoyton Asphalt Franny Blenner Hassett Memorial Mile May Novice Chase. Right, lads, this is interesting because we've got two handicapped Cheltenham winners topping the market. 9-4, I know the way you're thinking, who... Yeah, I think it was the handicap lot. Won at Cheltenham, 130 Chianti Classico. Iroko is 7-2. Heartwood 4-1. 8-1 Broadway Boy. And 72 Giovinco. Joe, on your return, off you go with the first of the day.
There's absolutely no messing here, PK. Nap of the day comes in the first race. I know the way you're thinking for me. Look, he made an unbelievable impression winning the Kim Muir by 8 lengths on the bridle off top weight. And look, got an unbelievable ride from Derek O'Connor and one of the all-time greatest Cheltenham Festival gambles of all time nearly. But look, that rise up to 158 now has forced their hand to go down the grade one route. And look, he certainly looks like a horse who's capable, but again, he has to kind of go and prove that he can do it. It's similar to a few horses in this race, but look, he handles heavy ground. He's good winter form over hurdles and fences in Ireland under that ground. So, and again, look, that the trip is no concern, but this is 1 furlong shorter than the Kim Muir on a sharper track, but he doesn't look like a horse that lacks a bit of toe. Look, for me, he's the one that completely stands out. And look, most here went to Cheltenham. So the fact that I know the way you're thinking did, it kind of eased the concerns around that. I think Iroko has only had two starts over fences. I think he is a bit defined. Hartwood was really good at Leopardstown in a doubling race and festival, but, you know, has a mark of 153 now. I don't know, did a race kind of fall apart with Percival Agalwa falling as well? So look, again, he has to kind of prove he has to do it. Giovinco's questions to answer, and Chianti Classico is probably the one that I fear the most. But look, I really strongly fancy, I know the way you're thinking. Like I said, he's the Napa day of Friday, the day two. So yeah, look, I fancy him strong here.
Come out swinging, as Joe Logue, love it. Right, straight away with the nap. Rory, are you as strong on something in this?
No, and I'm not massively keen on I know the way you're thinking. But I very much respect Joe's position and his records. I thought the Kim Muir is not a good race. Let's be absolutely blunt about it. He did bolt up in it, but he was entitled to. I thought Angel's Dawn was probably his biggest danger when she came down at the second last. He wasn't left with an awful lot to beat. She wouldn't have beaten him either. I mean, she was plugging away gamely, but he was still hard on the steel. But you've got to put it in context, and he was thrown in that day of 145. He deserves to be higher than that based on his form and good novice chases earlier this season. But is he a proper Grade One champion? I'm yet to be convinced by that. He may well be, and he's been cleverly campaigned, but he's been beaten often enough for me not to want to take a very short price about him here. And although Iroko does have a fair bit to find on paper, I thought he ran really well in the Turners over a trip that'd be too short for him these days. An impressive winner at the Cheltenham Festival last year, when I think the trip was probably too short from there in the Martin Pipe. He got outpaced and then stayed on really strongly to win that in good style. And then he stepped up to Grade One company here and ran at least as well when third in the 3 mile novice. I think he's a really good prospect. Obviously, he picked up an injury after winning at Warwick on his debut, and then they had him ready enough for him at Cheltenham, but I doubt he was 100% ready to go on that day. I thought he shaped well enough in a race where the front two got away from the field. And I think he'll improve a lot for that. So I'd rather, of the JP horses, I'd rather have Iroko. I think he's a better long-term prospect, or the best long-term prospect in this race, over 3 miles plus. And he's got a chance to show it tomorrow when he didn't really have a chance to do that at Cheltenham.
JP wins the opener on Friday with either I Know The Way You're Thinking or Iroko. I don't think any of these have won a Grade One, which is probably something you don't see that often. I think one of them will, but that is a novice chase, a Grade One novice chase with no previous Grade One winners in it, unless one of them won a novice hurdle or a bumper or something. But I couldn't see recent winners
bumpers
anyway.
Bumpers don't count anyway.
Exactly, yeah, bumpers don't count unless you're at Willie Mullins Yard and you run about 58 bumpers. Looking at you, Redemption Day. Right, 220 is race number two. It's the big handicap hurdle. It's the Coral Cup of Aintree. Let's call it what it is. It's 2.5 miles. Katira for the Skeletons has been strong in the antipost market and is your 13-2 favourite. 7-1 is Making Headway for the Ollie Greenall, Josh Guerrero team. 9-1 Boom Bone for Dan Skelton as well. 9-1 In the Waterside for Paul Nichols. 10s Springwell Bay, the top weight, and Theatre Man, and then 11s Bar. Okay, plenty. This is your cup of tea, Rory DeLarge. So I'm expecting something here.
Yeah, well, I'm not massively sold on it, merely because the market has already moved for Katira. She was a big eye catcher at Kempton last time out. I was very sweet in her chances here last year when she was runner up in Grade One company. It's a bit upside down, isn't it? We've got Grade One horses here, a bunch of handicappers running in the opening Grade One, but not many missed that run at Kempton last time out, where she was held up towards the back of the field and finished very strongly with Nico de Boinville seemingly marginally paralysed on the run in, unable to draw his whip. And she should have finished closer that day. Another eye catcher from the yard was the other mare who's been lined up for a hurdle here in behind that day. The stable won the race with Boom Bone. Katira finished strongly in fourth, and West Balboa was another eye catcher, finishing sixth. We'll get on to her on Saturday as well. They both caught my eye, but they've caught a few other eyes as well. So the price is not overly enticing. For all I think, you know, I'd want to have Katira very much on my shortlist for this race. I would also throw in What's Up Darling, who I was reasonably keen on in the Fred Winter at Cheltenham. I thought he ran pretty well in the grand scheme of things. I don't think it was ideally suited by the way the race was run. I think everything that finished in the first four or five that day was always up with the pace, at the important part of the race. Whereas What's Up Darling ended up running on late in the day to finish sixth under Cornerstone Walsh. I thought that was a better run than it looked on paper. As I said, I liked him that day because I thought he had an impossible task of giving a stone to Lamprey Lady in the Red Mills Hurdle at Goring on his previous start. And that's maybe a little bit underrated. So I fancied him to run pretty well. He's a bigger price, but he's 12 or 14 to 1, something like that. But I went through this and I thought you could probably give about 17 of the runners a chance. So I'd want to be getting a reasonable price about it. The other one who makes some appeal is Making Headway, but again, he's very well found in the market at 8 to 1. For Greenall and Guerrero, who could be looking for a double at this stage. He was the form of his win at Newbury two starts ago was nothing special. He was just gifted that race, but won it very easily. And then he's improved when keeping on into fourth in the Imperial Cup last time out. The 2 miles there are probably short enough for him, even though he won over the trip at Newbury. I think he will benefit from the step up and trip. But again, he's not missed. Everyone's aware that he's been lined up for a good handicap. He's a progressive novice, so he's a single figure price as well. And as such, I found it a difficult race to get heavily involved with. I'll put up What's Up Darling as the one who's still got a bit of juice left in the price.
It's great when I tee it up. This is your cup of tea, Rory, isn't it? And then straight away, it's like, shut up, PK. Right, What's Up Darling, definitely token selection, as you said. Yeah, double figure odds, 12 to 1 as we record. All right, which of the skeleton handicap lots is going to win, Joe?
Like Rory, a Talk of Tears is kind of the obvious one. But again, a bit like Rory, it's too short of a price in such a big field and on kind of heavy ground and stuff. And like, there's six places online here at the moment, I think. So I prefer to kind of look down the field a small bit and back one each way. But I'm not going too far down the betting either. A Champagne Twist for Ben Pauling is the one that caught my eye. Look, he's down towards the bottom of the weights here. He's a nice racing weight of 11 stone. And look, he got beat on Ascot in hurdle debut and then beaten by a good prospect in Peaky Boy at Cheltenham. But he won his maiden hurdle over 2.5 miles at Doncaster. And I thought he didn't win it cosily at Sandown, but I thought he won it well. He was kind of led when they hit the line, you know, and that was on soft ground in that big novice handicap hurdle. So look, that's usually a strong race. The third has come out once since, albeit it's a race at Plumpton, but look, it's a nice little form boost if you're kind of looking to back him. But yeah, he's got £7 for that win at Sandown, up to 131. It's probably still a bit workable. I think he can run a race off that mark. Tripping ground is fine. Like I say, in the yard are operating at about 21% at the moment. And look, yeah, Ben Pauling having a great year, and he looks a decent prospect for them in a race, a bit like Rory, that I wouldn't be, you know, kind of steaming into anything there. But he'd be just
okay. So What's Up Darling and Champagne Twist go in as kind of token selections, as you said, an extra place, or a couple of extra places in that race, the 220. On to the second grade one of the day, the 255, the top novice hurdle. Kind of for supreme horses. Mystical Power for Willie Mullins and Mark Walsh is your favourite at 7-4. Firefox 11-4. 92 Dice Arenas, who of course, missed the festival for Fergal O'Brien and Paddy Brennan. It was interesting. Paddy Brennan was on Nick Luck's podcast, and Nick asked Paddy, which one are you looking forward to most? And he mentioned one in the bumper. I thought this would have been the one he would have mentioned. But anyway, Golden Ace, of course, she was the brilliant winner of Canny Rye by Lorcan Williams, I think it's fair to say, at Cheltenham, 9-1. And then you have 9-1 Mr. Giff and 14 Spar. All right, Joe, on to the top novice herd.
I'm really looking forward to Aintree PK. And it's kind of one that you can kind of take a swing at a horse and, you know, you have a chance. Horses have been to Cheltenham. Some horses are fresh. Sometimes it puts up a bit of a surprise result. And look, I wouldn't put anyone off taking a swing at one, and that's what I'm going to do here. We've 8 runners. It's a nice each-way race with 3 places. So the selection's lump sum. Like I said, is there going to be a fresh horse coming into this? And I think I actually tipped him up the last 2 times he ran in the prod. But I really respect the yard. I don't think Sam Thomas puts them in a race that he doesn't think they can win. He was beaten by Jericho to Repinate Doncaster, and we spoke at the time about how that race was ran and that he wasn't best positioned, but he came out next time out in the Dovecot and kind of won well and cemented that he is a decent prospect. He was well back that day, beating Fiercely Proud. Again, talking about, you know, taking a swing at one, I think like Gordon Elliott's form has to be a huge question mark. I think he's only had 2 winners from 55 runners the last couple of weeks. Look Away is a horse that kind of will always run his race. Mystical Power is one that I couldn't really have at Cheltenham, but did surprise me how well he ran. But again, how much did Cheltenham take out of him? It's hard to know. Dice Ardenas, again, is one that maybe I think will be better for better ground. And Golden Ace, you know, deserved her day in the sun in the Mare's Novice at Cheltenham. Jade Grugy has come out and won since a Fairy House. It's just hard to know how that race will stand up and will it stand the test of time. I know Brighter Days Ahead and Jade Grugy were kind of well thought of going into it, but not too sure Golden Ace is better than the two of them. So I'm kind of taking her win with a pinch of salt and, yeah, taking a swing at Lump Sum here. I think it's about 14 to 1 each way, 8 runners.
Exactly what he is right now. Anyway, a Lump Sum, a swing, another swing from Joe. Okay, Rory?
Yeah, stable form would be a little bit of a concern, as Joe has pointed out there, but I got Fire Vault Shaped Best of All in the Supreme, and I think he's the pick here. Gordon's not exactly been banging in the winners, and he's got a few at this meeting that I'm a little bit suspect of. But I thought Firefox travelled really, really strongly into the Supreme, and then he just has gone for a run towards the inner that didn't work out for him. Lost momentum, and then when he got going again, it was too late. I thought, although he's beaten 5 lengths there, I thought if he'd came on the same run as the runner up. He'd have gone very, very close that day. He looked in very good terms to himself. His form has worked out all season. Obviously, Gordon said he wasn't right when he was beaten at Nace in January. But aside from that, his form has stacked up extremely well, and I think he's the horse to beat here. You couldn't be going massively over the top backing Gordon's this week, given recent form. But you'd also get the impression that he's not just throwing horses at the Grade One races here willy nilly. So I'm hoping that Firefox is absolutely right. I'd be happy to back him at the prices to turn the tables with Mystical Power from Cheltenham.
He remains the only horse to beat the mighty Ballyburn, of course. Firefox for Rory, Lump Sum for Joe each way, Angle. I'm assuming you need the Dead Eight for that one, though.
Yeah, I just that would be, if people are listening to this closer to the time and there is a non-runner, you're on a terrible bet if there's 7 runners. So I'd be waiting till the show and making sure that 8 show up here so you can play them each way.
Amazing how quick one horse can make such a good bet to a terrible bet. But that's each way terms, folks. That's the way the cookie crumbles.
Here at Paddy Power, we want our gambling to be fun and encourage our customers to bet responsibly. That's why we offer a number of tools to help you stay in control, including the ability to set deposit limits, get reminders after a certain amount of time playing, and to take breaks. For more information, visit responsiblegaming.paddypower.com. 18+, begambleaware.org.
On to the mile, mate. This obviously the 2.5 miler open Grade One over fences. If you pop into a Paddy Power shop, by the way, folks, stick a tenner in this race, you get a free fiver bet. Simple as that. And I'm sure you'll be looking at this race. And here we go. Again, we haven't seen day one, so we'd love to know whether Nicky Henderson's big hitters on day one have run well, maybe even won, but we don't. So John Bond, 15-8. Could be a lot shorter by the time this comes around. Could be a lot bigger. 11-4 Protectorat, 3-1 Pick Dory, Envoy Allen 5-1, 10-1 Conflated, who goes here instead of a number of options, including the National, Easy Game 16s, and 50-1 Manila Drama. Okay, Rory, I appreciate we don't know what's happened on day one, but at this stage, what are you thinking?
Yeah, it doesn't bother me what happens on day one here. I think this is one of the easiest races to look at off the meeting. I think Pick Dory makes the running, runs his usual, absolutely solid race, finishes second. But Protectorat comes past him at the second last fence and goes on to win by a couple of lengths. And that's all you need to know, really. I'm not a fan of John Bond at all. I've not been. His form this season is okay. He was gifted the win in the Schlur. I thought it was a good ride from Nico to get on terms with the front runner early there and put him off his stride. He wasn't massively impressive when he won the Tingle Creek, I didn't think. And again, his opposition there wasn't ridden to best effect. And I thought he was awful last time at Cheltenham. He jumped about 2 fences passably. The rest of them, he was wrong for multiple reasons. I know James Bowen got an awful lot of flack for that, but he just never travelled from an early stage, didn't have a cut at his fences, did everything wrong. And he still would have won, I think, if he jumped the last. And I thought he had no excuse for not jumping the last well. I know you can say he was getting a bit tired, but if you jump the second last at Cheltenham, okay, you really shouldn't be slow at the last fence. And that was a big red flag for me. Obviously, we don't know what kind of form he's in, and he missed the champion chase. But I'm not really, even if Nicky had a good Cheltenham, came here in reasonable form, I'd still be dead against John Bond. He's not a horse that I could be backing at short prices. And I thought the market opened up with Protectorat was, you know, third favorite at about 9-2. I thought it was, you know, completely wrong. He absolutely bolted up in the Ryanair. And you saw the way that race panned out, that really they should have been running him at 2.5 miles for the last couple of seasons. Because he's owned by John Hales, it's always been about winning a Gold Cup. That's, you know, John Hales really wants to win a Gold Cup. But he's got a horse with this sort of talent that's, you basically try to turn them into a Gold Cup horse. And after a couple of years of him showing that it wasn't going to happen, he just looked a different horse in the Ryanair. He's not particularly enjoyed making his own running prior to that, but he looked a different horse when given a lead. When something else can lead him over the fences, his jumping is better. And he's got a really high cruising speed. He's also got very good form at Aintree as well. And I expect him to follow up here. And I thought he was a solid bet, even at 3-1. If he couldn't, I was keen to try to snaffle the 9-2 when it was there at the 4-1, but 3-1 is still a very fair price.
Joe, can you price up Pick Dory to jump the second last in front, Protectorat to come up sides and then go on? I think Roy said exactly 2 lengths. So if you want to get bigger than the 11-4, 3-1, there's your bet, right? Request a bet, ask Paddy. Yeah, that's the way to do it. All right, Joe, your take on the 2.5 miler.
Thought it was really tough, PK. And again, like you mentioned, we're kind of going in blind here with Jambon, but a bit like Rory, he's a horse that even if Henderson was in real good form, he's a horse that you kind of nearly want to take on all the time because, I don't know, like the English form is just, it's a bit hit and miss, and he can make a mistake and probably isn't in against good enough horses often enough that they can capitalize on his mistakes. But again, I wish there was 8 runners. We're left with 7. Envoy Allen is one that I think would appreciate a little bit better ground than what we're going to get here. Pick Dory, the same. Couldn't put anyone off backing Protectorat, like Rory has put up, but he just wouldn't be for me now. I thought that he benefited from the stiff finish at Cheltenham, and it could be pocket talking since I did fancy Envoy Allen in the Ryanair, but I thought he just kind of grinded it out a little very well, like a stayer, and I'm not sure that he'll kind of get that option here at Aintree. So again, like, it's kind of an obscure bet, but Easy Game is the one for me. Look, always kind of campaigned as one of those horses that Willie has to kind of just hoovers up grade 2 prize money, and Saint Sam is kind of replacing him now that he's a 10-year-old. But yeah, look, I think the fact that they put him here is really interesting. We last saw him in Goran in September, winning on heavy ground. Now, it probably wasn't proper winter heavy, but it was heavy ground at Goran all the same. It was a grade 2D1, but Gentleman's Game was in second, Envoy Allen in third. Gentleman's Game obviously went on and beat Raven's Game to Charlie Hall in the next start. So, look, I think that form has a bit of substance, but because we only have 7 runners, we're going to have to go into the top finish market, which is available currently online. Top 3 finish, Easy Game, 2-1 is the way I'm going to play it.
All right, Easy Game, top 3 finish, which, as you said, is available already online. You don't have to go with the normal E-Trade terms. There's plenty of options for you. There's Forecast, Strike, that's all that sort of crack. So Protectorat for Rory, Easy Game for Joe. All right, the National Fences on Friday. We'll see the Topham Chase. This one's over 2.5 miles, and Bill Baxter, Warren Greatrex and James Bowen in the first time cheek pieces, is 4-1 for the race. My word. 11-2, Shake Him Up Harry for Ben Pauling and the Bens, Pauling and Jones. Life in the Park for Henry de Bromhead, Rachel Blackmore in the Manel Indo Colours, 15-2. 8-1, James de Burley for William Paul, and 8-1, Your Darling, also for Ben Pauling. Then the rest are double figure odds. I'm sure there'll be extra places, Joe, but who wins the top ham?
I'm just checking the extra places. Are they updated? Yeah, we've 6 here at the moment, PK. So again, it's one that is open to taking a swing at a big price, but I'm going towards the front of the market, and it's a bit of a cliff horse for me. I've always really liked him, and I ended up backing him for the Novice Handicap Chase at Punchdown. He was beaten. The Mayo National, he was beaten. Midlands National, he was beaten. And the Kerry National, he's beaten. That's Life in the Park. I finally gave up on him, and then he just kind of teases us with the way he ran at Cheltenham the last day. He just needed to be, you know, squeezed along for a bit, but then he finished with a rattle, and he's lured me in again. I'm going to give him one more go. I always thought he was one that wanted kind of good ground by the way his form was previously, but Cheltenham was soft ground, and he ran a cracker that day. I think it's very interesting to see how he gets on here. He's a horse that has always had a huge reputation since he won his point to point, and maybe has disappointed, but that run the last day shows us that, you know, there is plenty of talent there. Mark of 140 is definitely workable on the potential that he showed previously. Yeah, look, Rachel takes the ride. I think he's worth one more go. He's only a 7-year-old.
If he wins
15-2, 8-1. Yeah, I think he's worth another go.
if he wins at that sort of price, you're probably about level in terms of your lifetime P&L on this horse. So and that's with an 8-1 win. Right, Rory, your thoughts on the top one?
Yeah, a little bit of a change of direction here for me, because the horse that I've backed for this is now a non-runner, Lounge Lizard. I won't bother you by explaining what his chance was in the race, but I did like his...
I don't rate his chances now anyway.
I did like his profile, but he's out of it now, and that means a bit of a rethink for me. The two that I've looked at aside from him, my partner in crime keeps banging on about Frero Bamboo. He's been talking about this horse for the race for months. And I can see that running pretty well. He's got the right. You put a horse again who's a sound jumper and goes from the front or close to the front. And horses who maybe lack finishing speed in the races, you know, are sort of there or thereabouts, but can't get it done on a park track, often run very well here. So Frero Bamboo, who's very hard to win with, has dropped to a decent mark of 1.31 now. He was racing off 1.40 when runner-up at Cheltenham in January on New Year's Day. So he's dropped to a good mark. And while he's not my favourite horse in the world, because, you know, in the races he runs in, he doesn't massively appeal to me generally, because I think he is hard to win with. But with multiple places on offer here, and the fact that he's normally a very sound jumper, I can see him getting involved with a very low weight. He's only got 10-stone-4 on his back. So he would be at the head of my shortlist now, much as I poo-pooed the idea when first suggested to me. And the other one who makes appeal to me is Shake 'Em Up Harry, who I thought won very well at Cheltenham. They have been campaigning him at 3 miles plus, and he's just an on-stayer. He ran really well at the meeting last year in the freebooter over 3-mile-1 and just didn't get home that day, finishing fourth. And again, he shaped as well as anything in the Coral Gold Cup at Newbury, jumping like a stag, but not getting home over 3-mile-2. And he's been much better dropped in shape the last twice, winning on New Year's Day at Cheltenham, where he beat Frero Bamboo, and then winning the place at Cheltenham last time out off a mark of 143. He's up to 149, which means, let me work this one out, he is £18 worse off with Frero Bamboo. So the horse that I would tend to like here is Shake 'Em Up Harry, but I'll give him a shout out. Chutney Dave Massey, who I radical with in the sporting life, has been bending my ear about Frero Bamboo. And it's very difficult for me to say, I fancy Shake 'Em Up Harry to win this. Well, he just pointed out £18 pool for a 7.5 length beating at Cheltenham in January. So I guess I'm going to have to go for the Venetia Williams runner.
Does he like chutney or does he make chutney?
He doesn't know why. He just invented the name himself many years ago and doesn't know why he's called chutney. But there you go. It makes no sense whatsoever.
That is literally.
Yeah, but he's a popular lad on the racecourses here in the UK. So plenty of people who listen to this would know Dave.
Love a chutney. Love a chutney with McCurry or in a Ploughman's. Right, 440 is the Sefton. It's the Grade 1 novice hurdle over 3 miles. Let's call it the Albert Bartlett of Aintree. Poor old Aintree. Everything is related to Cheltenham, isn't it? The Jukebox Man. Oh, dear. He could have won. He should have won. He didn't win at Cheltenham, but he's back for more. He's 11-4 favourite for Ben Paul and Keelan Woods. Danny Mullins teams up with Willie on Dancing City. Paul as Reed and Tommy Wrong, and they're 130 joint second favourites. 9-2 Shannon Bob, unbeaten for Henderson and De Bonville. 8-1 Croke Park for Gordon Elliott and Tens Bar. Okay, back to you, Rory, for the Cavani Sartorial Menswear Sefton Novice Hurdle, no less.
Well, yes, you wouldn't catch me looking sartorial in Cavani. that's not because I'm in any way opposed to the company. Not my favourite race in the meeting at all. I thought, as you say, the Jukebox Man really should have won the Albert Bartlett. He did everything right, but he just got lonely on the run end, didn't he, and got caught close home by Stellar Story. He should make amends, but at 11-4, he'd be a tip for the sake of a tip rather than a strong suggestion. He'd want to be bigger than that for me to get involved. And I don't really like horses trying to back up quickly from the Albert Bartlett, but he's the one who deserves the win and has the form to do it. So he's my selection, but I'll say no more than that.
I think it's odds on. Harry Redknapp's interviewed by ITV on Friday. Anyway, he's got good chances with Shake 'Em Up Harry and the Jukebox Man. Had you an angle into this, Joe?
Rory kind of mentioned it. I wouldn't be a big fan of horses backing up here after the Albert Bartlett either, but look, he is interesting to be fair, and he ran a cracker Cheltenham and just kind of bumped into one a small bit, but I couldn't put anyone off backing him. But he wouldn't be for me either. Yeah, I think like siding with the fresher horse here, PK, is my angle really. And again, Shanna Bob by Nikki, it's hard to know. Reading Tommy Wrong was backed off the boards of Cheltenham and ran really disappointingly. Dancing Story ran well in the Albert Bartlett, but again, it's a tough race for horses to turn around quickly. And there is a negative about my horse, Croke Park here. Again, it's trained by Gordon Elliott. We mentioned it earlier. His form isn't fantastic, but I just think he's worth chancing in a race that is a trappy enough affair and tough to sort out. But look, Croke Park's form, it's not superb in fairness. He does have to step up and he does have to improve. But look, he's a grade three winner at Navan and then like bombed out in what was at the time the hottest race of the year, the Lauders and Ace. But the form does look a bit all over the place at the moment. But look, if Gordon has a winner like Jerry Clom or Firefox prior to this, you'd be even stronger with him. But look, they've freshened him up since the Lauders and Ace. Elliots weren't running well at the time either. But look, the fact that they kind of skipped Cheltenham with him and they're coming here would suggest that they've had enough time to maybe freshen them up and do the best they can with them. So, yeah, look, it's a real tough race to sort out, but it's a tentative enough selection for Croke Park.
That's fine. Tentative as we head, well, straight into the GA season, got underway last weekend, didn't we? So Croke Park, arguably an apt winner. We'll see how he goes. Dead eight each way, I assume, if you get the dead eight, Joe.
Yeah, you could play it that way. Yeah, absolutely.
Okay.
But I suppose he does have bomb out potential as well. So look, each to their own.
Okay.
It's a tough race, PK. It's real tough.
Fair enough. Not strong either of you on that. 5:15 is the Alderhay Handicap Hurdle. This one for conditional jockeys and amateur riders. Go Dante for the red hot Ollie Murphy. I, of course, had the temerity to win a grade two in Ireland at Ferry House and in the same colours, I think the same colours as Brewing Up a Storm, Go Dante. They look very similar anyway.
Yeah.
Is the favourite of 5-1. But if Charles Burns is over with a handicap in a handicap hurdle with form figures of 0F, then you can be sure this horse is going to be towards the top of the market. That's exactly what Maiden Street Prince is, 11-2. Brucio is 7-1. May have run well at Musselburgh, were that meeting gone, abandoned. Affidil 9-1 and Skycutter 9-1. Back to you, Joe, for the concluding handicap on the card.
Siding with Ollie Murphy here again. He's in cracking form. 33%, I think, the last 2 weeks. And he's kind of been, I think he was up towards 40 there for a while. He's been kind of consistently banging in the winners since, you know, the last 2 months, really. But yeah, look, he's a real solid horse, Go Dante. He was sixth in a strong Greatwood hurdle where the form has been working out all season. And, you know, he came out, he won next time out off 1.25. And then he was third in a bet for a hurdle off 1.28 and went and won the Imperial Cup at Sandown off 1.29. So, yeah, look, he's just a horse that seems to run his race. The handicapper hasn't killed him either with a £5 rise. He's running off 1.34 here. Favoir, who's behind him in the Imperial Cup, came out and ran a cracker at Cheltenham in the county hurdle, coming sixth, was only beaten four lengths. He's going to handle the ground. The trip is fine. Like I said, the yard is flying. He's a horse that always runs his race and probably a safe option in a big field.
All right, Go Dante for Joe for the inform Ollie Murphy. Rory?
Yeah, I like Eagles Reign here. First thing, I'm not mad at backing four-year-olds against older horses and handicap hurdles. I thought I'd just check the record in this. In this race, and actually the four-year-olds, have, given that they're very sparsely represented in this race, they do have a very good record. Cockney Sparrow won it for John Quinn back in 2013, and Chief Justice was a winner for Gordon Elliott in 2019. So the four-year-olds do well here. I don't think there'll be more than 10 or 12 four-year-olds running in this race in that period. And I thought... I didn't think an awful lot of Eagles Reign going into Cheltenham, but obviously he arrived in good form. He'd been running well on bad grounds in Ireland. He'd won at Punchestown on his handicap debut. And I thought he ran a massive race, given that he was too close to the pace in that Fred Winter. And finished a very good second in the end to Lark in the Morning, who was a handicap blot. And everything else around him was largely held up and raced wider on the track, and he was up with the pace the whole way. And he's the horse who fared best in that race, who was handy through wide. And I thought he was worth marking up as a result. At around 12-1, I thought he had a decent chance here. Shane O'Callaghan claiming the five. He's been ridden by Tom Harney in a previous start. And I thought he was pretty interesting here with the four-year-old allowance now. So he was the he's one I was most interested in. But the rank outsider is also worth a second mention. El Jefe for Andrew Hamilton, not a name you'll hear bandied around very often outside of the likes of Hexham and Sedgefield. But this horse has won four times this season. And although he was well beaten behind Brentford Hope in the final, the challenger final at Haydock last time out, he made a bad mistake when he was getting into contention four out that day, and that did for his chances. He'd run very well to be second at Bangor in his previous start. He's only £3 higher for that. And possibly the biggest positive for him is, well, the danger thing to say, but his jockey Ben Smith, I think, is really promising. I don't know what kind of weight he tends to do generally, but hopefully he can claim the full seven off this and 10 stone two. He only got his license in December. His father, Mike Smith, trains on the west coast of Scotland. Not exactly a hotbed of young jockeys there, but he's ridden four winners from about 20 rides so far, all in handicaps, all on exposed horses, all of them showing improved form for him riding them. And he was unlucky not to add to that tally again in one of the big northern finals at Musselburgh last week on a horse called Donzel Star. She finished best of all to finish third. He likes to ride from off the pace. And I think the way that this race will pan out, there'll be plenty of pace on again. El Jefe will sit right at the back of the field and just look to stay on past horses with extra places on offer. How many places are Paddy Power playing at the moment?
Well, you said places, but I'm sure it's a place, but I'm going to go like, go on. Extra plays.
Five.
Well, yeah.
Extra plays.
Jockey's lowest riding rate, Rory, is 9.6, so he can claim the full seven.
He can definitely do that, and that's fair enough. And yeah, he's obviously all his rides. This is his first outside ride. All his rides so far have come for his father, I believe. And he's 80-1 in a place, and through about 66-1 general. I can just see him running through horses late in the day to grab a place at a big price. And I thought he was interesting enough right down at the bottom of the weights. Worth pointing out that when he in that run at Haydock last time out, because Brentford Hope was in there, he was actually out of the handicap, whereas he's actually racing off his correct mark this time. And I think he's not the forlorn hope that the market would let you think, but the main play will be Eagles Reign.
Lovely. Two shouts there. Main play Eagles Reign, who Nina Carberry, future European politician, put that up for us in the shops in the Fred Winter and or the Boodles or whatever we're calling it anyway, at 80-1. So Eagles Reign and then El Jefe. Si, senor. Famously, El Jefe would be referred to either, you know him as Fidel Castro, the former leader of Peru, Cuba, or the Shakira song. I mean, it's one or t'other. So whichever one you know El Jefe as. And then Go Dante for Joe at the top of the market. Those are the selections in that 5.15, as you heard, five places on offer. Right, Friday naps. I'm pretty confident, given Joe's already told us what his nap is, that I'm going to be able to tell you guys what your naps are. Joe, does your nap appear in the first race on the card?
Correct.
And the name of the horse is?
I know the way you're thinking.
Fantastic. Rory, if I was to guess where your nap appears, I would say it comes in the 3.30.
Would you know? Oh, yeah. Protectorat is my nap on the day.
Frank the Tank here. Got it both. Right, so Protectorat, the nap for Rory, and I know the way you're thinking, the nap for Joe. That's day two covered, lads. Do check out the Paddy Power Racing YouTube channel for loads of goodies, including that brilliant Punters panel episode. It's still available. If you're sick of tipping and you just want some good quality content, it's definitely worth a watch on a busy weekend of racing and sport. As Joe said, what a week of sport. Also, watch out for that free bet offer. You got to opt in if you want to claim that free bet on the Friday as well, and then we'll be chatting about the Saturday card. That'll come down pretty quickly because we're going to press stop on this and we're then going to talk about Saturday's card. So that should be through shortly on whatever format you're listening or watching these podcasts. So thanks, lads. Enjoy your Friday. Enjoy actually your Thursday racing as well. We're going to be talking about Saturday without having watched any races. This is going to be weird. Anyway, we will be back for the Saturday pod shortly, but stay tuned and do check out that. Oh yeah, Good Morning Aintree is on the Paddy Power Racing YouTube channel and all the socials each of the mornings of the festival, and chance for you to grab free cash. So that's worth tuning into at 8:30 each morning. All right, lads, thanks a million. I'll see you in about 2 minutes.